Hello, Calvary, and hello, Reverend Benedict Rajan and family and leaders, pastors. Thank you so much for this opportunity and honor to be able to bring the Word of God. I want to thank Pastor Rajan for personally taking his precious time to come, even though via online channel, to pour into and bless and encourage EPCC on one of our revival weekend. It was an amazing time. Deeply grateful, Pastor, for your ministry for us, and thank you for this opportunity to be able to speak the Word of God into your church. Well, this pandemic looks like it is going on, and we are trying to really make sense of all that is happening around us. And I'm sure you are doing your level best. But where is God in all these things? What is God doing in all these things? How do we respond to suffering? Is there something that we can draw from the theology of suffering when a Christian goes through suffering? How do we see God when hardship and difficulties come? Well, I think we need to answer this question. Well, I made an illustration one time. When we say very often in our Christian jargon, we say, God is good. When we say that, when everything is going well and fine and good, we say, God is good. Yes, He is good. But what about if bad things happen? Do we say, God is not good? Well, there were two ladies, one from North Korea, one from South Korea. And they are both believers. And they are praying for their beloved husbands. So, each one of them. So, because, assuming both the countries are at war. And while the South and the North Korean wives are praying. So assuming North Korea has won and South Korea has taken the defeat, and then the North Korean husband, the North Korean lady's husband comes back home, he's reunited with the family, whereas the South Korean wife's husband didn't make it back. Now, well, the North Korean wife will say, oh, praise the Lord, God is so good. Will the South Korean wife say, oh, well, God is no good. My question is this. Is God good based on our circumstances? Who says that God is good or God is not good based on our circumstances? So the circumstances for the South Korean wife is not good, and she's going to say, oh, God is not good. And the circumstances of the North Korean wife is good, and she's going to say, oh, God is so good. Now, we cannot conclude God is good or not good based on our circumstances. He is bigger and He is sovereign. And that's the concept that I want to introduce to you as I bring to you this message. It is called, But Even If. But Even If. Now I'm taking this message from Daniel chapter 3, verses 17 to 25. I will not read all of it, but I will read some of that passage that I've shown you from verses 17 to 25 of the book of Daniel. Now, you know, Daniel chapter 3 is a story of the three Hebrew boys. They were thrown into the fiery furnace. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were thrown into the fiery furnace. Now, what happens when they were thrown into the fiery furnace? That's when the story gets so exciting. But even though the story is exciting, even though the testimonies are great, hey, but look, you and I, we need to explain, why did they even end up inside the fiery furnace? What was the reason? What was God doing when He allowed them to go inside the fiery furnace? But even if, that's the title. So where did I draw this scripture from? Well, I want to read for you from Daniel chapter 3, verses 17 and 18 first. Now, it says this. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God whom we serve is able to save us. He's able to save us. What confidence they have. He will rescue us from your power, your majesty, Wow, these guys are really bold to speak to the king with such authority. Verse 18, but even if he doesn't, we want to make it clear to you, your majesty, that we will never serve your gods. Now, I want to ask you this question. Are these three guys really confused? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, are they confused? Yes, God is able to save us. Yes, God is powerful. Yes, He's almighty. But if He doesn't, you know, is there some kind of like a escape clause? Is this how we should speak? You know, hey, look, God can bless us and God can work His mighty power over these circumstances we are in. But if He doesn't, you know, are we trying to rescue God? Are we trying to, are they trying to put God in a good light? Make God look okay? What was the reason they spoke that way? Well, it is interesting. The Hebrew boys not only understood the power of God when they said, our God will deliver us. They understood the concept of the power of God. But they also believe in the sovereignty of God when they said, even if he does not, your majesty. Now, it is not praying or sharing testimony, God is able, God can do it, hallelujah, God will provide. But then after that, you know, in order to save your face, in order to put God in a good light, in order people will not say, see, God has abandoned you, you say this. But even if He doesn't. No, I want you to understand a simple biblical truth, a theological concept that will help us to walk with this confidence, not to put us in a place where we play safe or we want to save our face, play safe or save our face so that people won't say, see, whatever you proclaim boldly didn't happen. No, but it is the biblical truth. And that's how you must live. And that's how I want to live. And that's how we should live as believers, with that confidence of God's truth. What is the truth? The Hebrew boys understood the power of God. God is able to save. But they also understood the sovereignty of God. Now, we are okay with the mighty works of God, which is the power of God. But very often, we are worried to confront the mysterious ways of God. Isn't it true? That we are able to deal with the mighty power of God. We know the power works. We know the power is available. We know God is powerful. But sometimes, the way He works out that power can be not according to your ways or my ways, not according to our human comprehension, but according to God's wisdom. And that's why it becomes very mysterious. You will never understand how God works. And this is what we call the sovereignty of God. But when you experience this, but even if, you are not saying but even if, so that to safeguard yourself, save your face, and also put God in a good light. No, to remove any possibility of shame or people ridicule you because your bold proclamation didn't come to pass. No, it's not that. It is here we are going to reconcile between the power of God and the sovereignty of God. But even if helps us to resolve the conflict between the power of God and the sovereignty of God. Now, what is the sovereignty of God? We all know it's the power of God, lah. I don't think I have to define it, right? You guys know what's the power of God. But what's the sovereignty of God? Now, sovereignty of God is same as the lordship of the Lord, where He is above all things. He is before all things. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And God created all things and hold all things, both in heaven and on earth, both visible and invisible. And those are qualities of the sovereignty of God. God knows all things, past, present, future. I mean, He is so knowledgeable of the things that are happening, which no human mind can fathom, comprehend, or decipher. That is the sovereignty of God. There is no limit to His knowledge, for God knows everything completely, even before it happens. That's the sovereignty of God. God can do all things, accomplish all things. That means, you know what? God is in control of all things, rules over all things. He has power and authority over nature, earthly kings, history, angels, demons. Now that tells you why when Jesus was sleeping at the boat, at the back of the boat, everybody thought he doesn't care. And they went and woke him up and said, you know, this is in Mark chapter 4, and they said, "Master, don't you care? We are perishing." Now, Jesus slept not because he didn't care. Jesus slept because he's in control. He is sovereign, my friend. His humanity may be sleeping, but his divinity is wide awake, because the book of Psalms tells us that the guardian of Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. So, his humanity may be sleeping, but his divinity is watching. So, that is the sovereignty of God. Now, what is the difference? What is the difference? We know the power, but we don't see very often its operations. We may not see the operations of that power. That is where many times God doesn't make sense. That is where many times God seems to be so mysterious. For example, let me give you some example of how the sovereignty of God works. Moses was told to pick up the snake when... it's a dangerous thing to pick up. You know, Jonah was in the stomach of a fish. Imagine the bile. Imagine 3 days. I mean, how did he survive? Can you imagine? I'm sure there's lots of water, smell, and fish, and I mean, all kinds of yucky stuff, you know, just hitting him constantly. You know, and how did he get up and go into Nineveh to preach? Probably he may look like, you know, a recycled Michael Jackson after he came out with all the bile and with all the, you know, acid over him. But let me tell you that God is definitely working. That is called a miracle. You know, when God created the sun according to the order of creation, when he says, "Let there be light," the first thing creation is not the sun. Because the order of creation tells us the sun was created on the fourth day, but the plants were created on the third day. Now, we all know, we have learned science before. We've gone to school. It says photosynthesis. For photosynthesis to work, you need water and you need sunlight. But the plants were created on the third day. The sun was created on the fourth day. Hey, the order should be... The sun should be there first, ready to shine on the plants. No, but God created the plants third day, sun on the fourth day. That means He is above and beyond. He is sovereign. And that is the wisdom of God, the ability of God over every power, authority, rulers, principalities, history, kings, politics. He's over everything. And when the Hebrew boys said, "Our God is able to rescue us," but even if He doesn't, it is not an escape clause. It's not a way to hide from embarrassment. No. But it is a truth, a confrontation, a reconciliation of the power of God. Yes, we believe in the power. But what about when the power happens in a very mysterious way? What happens if the power happens in a very mysterious way and it does not work the way we want it to work? So Abraham was 99 years old, but Sarah was 90. I mean, biologically, it doesn't work, but God is above biology. Come on. God is above science. God is above every human intervention, every human creation, or even nature. That's why He's above and beyond. That is the sovereignty of God. Mary knew the sovereignty of God. Mary, you know, the earthly mother of Jesus, when the wine ran out, she said, "Whatever He says, do it." I mean, there's no wine. There's only 8 jars of, clay jars that is used for ceremonial cleansing in John chapter 2. There's no wine. But she had that confidence that whatever Jesus say, He will do it. So, we need to reconcile the power of God with the sovereignty of God. And that is the place where many believers find it very hard to process that truth. Now look at the scripture. Scripture again in verse 17. It says, "He will rescue us from your power, your majesty," they said. That's the power of God. That's the power of God. And then, but even if he doesn't, that's the sovereignty of God. But even if he doesn't, that's the sovereignty of God. Are we right now in a position where you are going through even if he doesn't? Are you going through that even if he doesn't? How do we reconcile these two? We see, we know, we have experienced, we have walked, we have witnessed the power. But at that moment, it wasn't working. It doesn't show up. It is not as obvious as we wanted it to be. Can we rest in the sovereignty of God? He will rescue power. But even if he doesn't, sovereignty. Only, now what's the difference between these two? Only the ways of God is different. The works of God is still the same. He's still working. You know what's the difference between the mighty work of God and the mysterious ways of God? You know what's the difference? The only difference is maybe the ways of how God works out that problem that you're in right now may not be the same or may not be the way that you would probably want it to be worked out, but nevertheless, he is still working. That is the reconciling factor. He is still working. Even though you know about the power and the power is not as obvious as you want it to be, but he's still working. God is still working. That's why in Psalm 103 verse 7, the psalmist can write something like this. He made known his ways. The mystery, the ways to God, to Moses, sorry. He made known his ways to Moses, but his acts, his power to the children of Israel. Sometimes we are so used to journeying in our spiritual life with God, seeing the power. God works, God answers, God comes through, God provides, God delivers. Hey, those are all acts. We kind of like accustomed and we kind of like build our Christian life on this path. But we have not reconciled it with the sovereignty of God. Like the Hebrew boys did in Daniel chapter 3 verse 17 and 18. They knew the power, but they understood the sovereignty of God. But even if, oh, I do not know how many of you, if you're a student, if you're a housewife, if you're a businessman, you know, if you're a leader in your corporate setting or even in any place of leadership that you are in, as a pastor, as a ministry leader, probably you come into a place where you feel like, yes, I have seen the power of God, but the mysteries of God, oh, it is challenging. Oh, the mysteries of God, I cannot decipher, I cannot process it. And maybe some of you are struggling in that. But let me help you how Moses understood the ways of God, but the children of Israel, the acts of God. Many times, maturity can be truncated or maturity doesn't go to the next level when we tell God that he should only come through to us by his acts, his power. But maturity goes to another level when we say, God, I submit myself to your ways, even though it may seem mysterious. Let me give you one example. I tell you, one day we were receiving a group of students from the U.S. The leader of this team was my former professor in the seminary, and he was bringing a group of students for summer outreach, and they were coming to Penang, and so we were communicating, and they're supposed to preach on Saturday and Sunday services. So that's the plan. But along the communication, you know, we misread their email and we thought they are not coming on Sunday. They are not coming at all. We thought, oh, you know, something happened. Their flight is going to be delayed. They are not coming. So we made an arrangement that, you know, one of our pastors is going to preach. And so all things are going as planned. I was away from church. And so one of my pastors was going to preach that day. And so as we were getting ready for service, my PA, she was the one who was communicating with the team. So our church is located on the 13th floor, KR, People don't like 13, so it's 12A. That's why, that's how it is labeled in the elevator. So we're on the 12A floor. So she decided that from the 12A floor, she wants to go down to office, which is on the 10th floor. So she went out of the fire escape staircase. But then she realized, hey, I needed to get something back in 12A. So she tried to come up. But the door was closed on the other side. It was locked from the other side, from the outside. So she thought, okay, I'll go down to 10th floor and I will open the door in the 10th floor where the office is. Again, even that door was locked. So she tried 10, 9, 8, and 7. Let me tell you, she's dressed for Sunday service. You know, my PA, she is immaculate in how she dresses up, and probably the entire, you know, Gucci, Giorgio Armani, Versace, everything is on her when she's coming to Sunday service. I mean, it's a compliment. So she's coming down and she realized every floor, the fire escape staircase, doors are closed. And she's opening 8, 7, 6. I mean, she's opening everyone until she comes to the ground floor. And that's the only door that is opened. And she walks into the lobby. And, you know, she's perspiring, you know, and she is like probably, of course, very frustrated, you know. And then she walks to the lobby where the lift is. Lo and behold, the entire US team was there waiting to catch the next elevator to go up to 12A. And she saw them. She was shocked because she knew with all her heart, they are not coming. But she was like, suddenly she decided to put the wrong information we have had and wrong communication that we have received right. And she said, hello, welcome. And she took the team up to the 12th floor and quickly communicated, the team is here, the team is here, and changed everything and allowed them to minister. Now, can you imagine this? Why, at that moment, at the exact time, all the doors were shut, all the access to each floor was unavailable, and at that time, it has to be my PA who has been communicating with this team, the timing, the perfection of the ground floor lobby meeting. I mean, it is just perfect. Really, it is God. You see, we sometimes see and feel comfortable with the power, but we are not comfortable with the ways of God. Moses, God made his ways known to Moses. Because even when the power is not in operation, right? Even when the power is not in operation, if you know the way and you can journey with God, even when you don't know the power, don't see, don't experience, put on a pause mode, waiting mode, you can still experience God. We don't just experience God when we see the power, feel the power, touch the power. You know, no, sir, even when His way seems mysterious, but we can still experience God. And at the fiery furnace, the Hebrew boys reconciled the power of God, and they said, but even if He doesn't, Your Majesty, our God is not weak. Our God is not so sleeping. No, but He's in control. I pray that the Lord will help you to reconcile between the power and His sovereignty. In whatever your circumstances may be today. You know, I want to share with you that we have this building that we just moved in about 4 years ago. And when we were raising the funds and all that, you know, we needed close to 10 million to get everything done. But then what happened was that in the process of after purchasing it, 3 months after that, we receive a letter from the state government. And the government tells us, dengan sukacita, gladly we are happy to announce to you that there is a piece of land that the state is giving to you. And it is located in a prime location, a 5-star hotel, and the biggest mall in Penang, or the longest mall in Penang, and right smack in the middle of these two, facing the expressway. Everyone will see that property if a building is there. And I was thinking, God, The letter comes 3 months after we have purchased this property that we are in right now. I said, God, if you only gave us the indication that the letter from the state is coming, we would not have purchased this. We would have put all our money in that property and we would have have a landed property right now, not worshipping in such a high location, 12A. We were thinking of timing. Why late 3 months? But what God was working on times we are living in Malaysia. It's getting even more and harder and difficult to position a church within a commercial lot, a commercial title. And looking at what is happening in our nation, it's getting difficult. But I was looking at the timing, but God was looking at time. Because He knows where we are at. He knows where this nation is heading. He knows how important it is. But I was thinking, well, God, why didn't you do it 3 months earlier? We are talking about inconveniences of raising the money for the next project. But God was thinking of the influence of the multitude that that place could bring for us. You know the story of Esther? The book of Esther, God's name is never mentioned in the book of Esther. The name God, Yahweh, Elohim, Adonai, none. You will never find the word God in the book of Esther. No way, you cannot find. But do you know that God was sovereignly working? His hands were not visible, but His footprints were visible. You know, His power was not evident, but His heart was there. I'm not sure who I'm speaking to. You are in a place and you are going through this. But even if He doesn't. Oh, but even if He doesn't. Even if it doesn't. Even if that relationship doesn't work. Even if that application to that university doesn't come through. Even if it doesn't come through for that job, for that business deal, for that tender that we have put it. But even if it doesn't, we have seen the power of God and we are comfortable staying with it and living with it and call that as only walking with God. But will you be contented that God is working sovereignly, mysteriously, that we can reconcile the mighty acts of God and the mysterious ways of God and still say, yes, I am experiencing God. I am experiencing God. Do you know that God saved 15 million Jews from the entire empire of King Ahasuerus? He's like a comical king, Ahasuerus. King Ahasuerus or King Xerxes, that's his other name, where in his tyrannical rule, he subjugated the entire Jewish people in his vast empire from Ethiopia all the way to India. That's how vast his empire was. Almost 15 million Jews at the verge of being annihilated by a decree that was propagated by Haman to destroy the people. But in the book of Esther, God's name, God's identification is never mentioned. But yet, God worked miraculously. God's hand was in some really amazing way in bringing deliverance to the 15 million Jews. How did that happen? Because the power of God and the sovereignty of God is reconciled. Well, but even if He doesn't. Now I want you to look at verse 21. Verse 21 says this. Then these men were bound in their coats, their trousers, their turbans and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. That means they were tied with rope. They were fully dressed from top of their head to the sole of their feet. They had their coats. They had their trousers. They had their turbans. They had all the other garments. Everything was complete. And they were bound. And they were thrown, cast into the midst of the burning. Okay, let's look at verse 25 right now. Verse 25 says, look, he answered, I see four men loose. Now, do you realize they were bound? They were bound in a furnace, fully dressed, but now they are loosed. Only the rope that binds them that was burned up. Only the rope that bound them was burned up. See, we are worried about what will burn us, but God is interested in what will build us. We're worried about what will burn us, but God is interested in what will really build us. You know, what will build us is the thing that was binding us. Do you realize that what actually happened, all their turban, their coat, their pants, everything is intact. The only thing that got them loose, you look at verse 25, it says, and then we look, he answered, I see four men loose. What made them loose? The rope that was around them was burned. Only the rope was burned. The rest wasn't burned. This is the sovereignty of God. See, we see the fire. We see the fire. But God built our faith. We see what binds us, what burns us. But God is doing what builds us. And what builds us is that when we are able to reconcile His power, the absence of His power with the presence of His ways. The absence of His power with the presence of His ways. So that will elevate us to a next level. And that will help us to face the fire that we may be in. God is sovereign over the fire as well. Hallelujah. Some of us, we are feeling like the fire, the heat is so strong. But God wants to let you know that He is greater than the fire. That He's greater because He's not just interested in the fire, He's interested in your faith. Because by right, even the coat, the turban, the pants, the trousers, everything should burn up. But God took care of the only one thing that binds them. The only one thing. Maybe God is working on your fear. Maybe God is working on your doubt. Maybe God is working on your impatience. Maybe God is working on your level of faith that is only comfortable with His power. But now God is working on something greater. So maybe those lies, those limitations is what that bound you all this while. And you realize that when in the fire, only that rope that bound them that was burned up. And I believe that's what's happening to you. The only thing that bound you up, the limitation of the mind, the narrow thinking, God is loosening those things. And that's why He's helping you to reconcile the power and His sovereignty. The second and the final thing that I want to bring to your attention is this. But even if it's an opportunity to see God in all His greatness, even if it's an opportunity to see God in all His greatness. Look, verse 25. Look, he answered, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire and they are not hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. But even if it's an opportunity to see God in all His greatness, not just help you to reconcile between His power and His sovereignty, but allow you to see God in all His greatness. Now they see the Son of God. Now they are seeing Jesus. The very manifestation of His presence in the Old Testament. Now we see His presence there. Emmanuel. We're going to celebrate Christmas soon. And we're going to talk about Emmanuel, God with us. Well, He is here with them in the middle of the fire. Sometimes, one way how you know God is God is when He delivers us from the fire, isn't it? So we think this is how God should work. He must deliver us from the fire. This is how God works. He delivers us from fire. This is the most preferred way, I believe. But another way you know that God is God is when He does not deliver you from fire, but He walks with you in the fire. That was what is happening here. One way and how we know this best and most preferred is that God delivers us from fire. Yay! Praise the Lord! The fire is no more. He has delivered me. He sent the fireman. He has put out the fire. Hallelujah! Praise God! But what if he doesn't put out the fire? But another way, God is God. He does not deliver you from the fire, my friend, but he joins you in the fire. And that's what Jesus is doing. And that's his promise. In Matthew chapter 14, another incident of Jesus was in the middle of the storm. Mark 4, he was sleeping. But Matthew 14, he was walking. He was sleeping not because he didn't care, but because he's in control. But Matthew 14, he was praying, but then he came walking on the very water that was threatening the disciples. He walked on it. Sometimes God is God when he doesn't deliver you from your storm, but when he walks into the storm, when he joins you in the fire. That's why I tell you, write this down. God is more glorified in the fire than outside the fire. God is more glorified in the fire than outside the fire. And that's what is happening. And I close with this story of this amazing woman. Her name is Dr. Helen Rosevere. After graduating from Cambridge with a doctorate in medicine, Helen studied for 6 months at the Worldwide Evangelization Crusade College at Crystal Palace. From there, she went to Belgium to study French and then to Holland to take a course on tropical medicine as she prepared for her appointment as a medical officer in the nation of Congo. In mid-March of 1953, at the age of 28, she arrived at northeastern region of Congo, later named as Zaire. In the first 2 years, she founded a training school for nurses, training women to serve as a nurse as well as evangelist. You know, and she ran clinics, dispensaries in different regions. Congo became independent from Belgium in 1960, but civil war broke out in 1964, and then it was downhill from there on. All the medical facilities were destroyed. Helen was among 10 Protestant missionaries put under house arrest by the rebel forces for weeks, and then they were moved and imprisoned, and she described the horror she has gone through. And one of the things she said is this: they found me, dragged me out to my feet, struck me over head and shoulders, flung me on the ground, kicked me, dragged me to my feet, only to strike me again. The sickening, searing pain of a broken tooth, a mouthful of sticky blood, my glasses gone, beyond sense, numb with horror and unknown fear. Driven, dragged, pushed by, back to my own house, yelled at, insulted, cursed. October 29, 1964, Helen Rosevere was brutally raped by her captors. Sometimes God doesn't extinguish the fire, but he walks on the fire with you, because we are so accustomed to the power, not the sovereignty of God. And this is her closing remark, my closing remark of what she said. Though the brutal, heartbreaking experience of rape, God met with me with outstretched arms of love. It was an unbelievable experience. He was so utterly there, so totally understanding. His comfort was so complete, and suddenly I knew. I really knew that his love was unutterably sufficient. He did love me. He did understand. She understood that the overwhelming sense of privilege that God has given her to able to allow her to go to the jungles of Africa, so that she can become his mouthpiece. You know what? Maybe there are some of us here today. We are right now in the middle of a fire. See, God is glorified so often, not when he just takes us out of the fire or quenches or extinguishes the fire, but when he walks with us in the fire. That's what Jesus wants to do for you. He's in the fire. God is more glorified in the fire than outside the fire. And just like Dr. Helen Rosevere, that brutal experience of humiliation and pain and hurt that scarred her for life, I believe. But somehow, understanding the love that He's there with her in the jungles. I pray that maybe you are here right now and you are saying, Pastor, I am that one of that person. But I want to tell you, my friend, but even if He doesn't, we can reconcile with the power, the works of God, but I'm bringing you to see and elevate you to see the greatness and all the greatness of God, even when the fire is not out, that you can see God and that He's still there for you. Oh, I pray. And I pray right now the Holy Spirit is ministering to you. The Holy Spirit is moving right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I see a family. I see a family that is separated. I see a family that is in a legal battle right now. And child custody is involved. It could be not from anyone in this church. It could be anybody else who's watching from a different church or different parts of the world. And you feel helpless. You feel hopeless. You feel that if this criteria is met, if this legal option and advantages are placed beside you, behind you to push forward this case. But I want to tell you, those are the things that you're comfortable in the power. But the Holy Spirit is telling you that even if He doesn't, the sovereignty of God, the ways of God. Maybe you are like my PA. You are walking from one business, from one job opportunity, one door after another door is all closed. And she's walking all the way to 13 floors down with all the makeup, with high heels. And she could never understand why. But down there, at the lowest floor, when you come with all the pain and you come out with all the challenges of that entire experience, and you will come to a place and your aha experience where God is revealing His glorious power and is ministering to you right now. In the name of Jesus, the doors has been shut. Doors has been shut, but God is sovereignly working over you. Father, in the name of Jesus, the Lord is releasing you. The Lord is releasing you. There's a person who has been discouraged in ministry. You're not a full-time staff, but you are in the ministry, in your lead leadership, but it's brought you to many disappointment and hurt. But the Lord is saying to you, I am showing you that I am above and beyond all the disappointment and all the people that even may have disappointed you. Look, they could be people that God has probably allowed to come alongside you. But God is sovereign over their mistake. God is sovereign over their narrowness of their thinking. God is sovereign over their jealousy. God is sovereign in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, release your power. Release your authority. Show your greatness right now, Lord. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Lift your hands. Lift your hands and receive right now the amazing love. He is with you. Emmanuel, God, with us in the fire. Hallelujah. He's releasing you. He's giving you freedom. He's giving you freedom. You're walking into a new destiny. You're walking into a new level. You're walking into a new level of maturity. Today is the day in Jesus' name for you. Receive the blessing of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit be upon, Lord, your believers, your people whom you love dearly. Oh, we thank you in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.